Fire away.
Best show here.
Back show.
Who's the best show here?
Back show.
Pretty good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza, pizza.
It's about fucking time someone else is.
Big O Showtime!
So you were making it for me. I'm in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's fact. If you don't like the cats, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stream link, go direct to DLNTS.org. And ICChallengeLinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the gala's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 919 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
On the old ancient laptop.
Yeah, we have Joe.
In my hot ass garage.
Yeah, and that's sexy hot, right?
No. Sure.
Yeah. All right. Before I let Pat take over, I just wanted to correct something I had mentioned last week when I was talking about workload identity. I was mistaken in how I thought it worked. And that's for it's a Kubernetes, Google Cloud platform, Kubernetes security tool. So I think I had said it kind of operates by linking it to the service account, the Google service account that you create. But actually, that's not how it works. It is a Kubernetes service account that there's a translation layer in there that gives it Google IAM permissions to Google services. So you don't use the technical, like your Google service account. It is a Kubernetes service account that you create that has a link in there and given to the Google Cloud product and giving that permissions to for your applications or whatever services that you want to give access to. So it's a little different than kind of like the Kubernetes service account linking to a Google service account. So just to clear that up, and here's Joel, as we would expect, coming in right here in the middle of it. Good evening, Joel.
Good evening. Happy birthday to Tux.
Yeah, 30.
30 years.
30 years. And something that's probably lasted almost as long. I'll let you take it over, Pat. You had some tragic news today.
Yeah, my old desktop finally died. I thought it was just a power supply, so I picked up another power supply. But that's not doing it either. I think it's the motherboard. It's completely shot. So it's time for me to get something. My machine here, I don't use it for work anymore. I used to use it as a VPN, but now I have a work laptop, and that they administer and update, which is fine by me. I just use that solely for work. So the only thing I'm really using this for is, you know, personal use. I started getting into like the recording stuff, and honestly, the old machine was like borderline. Like, it was a little bit of latency. You know, it was manageable. It wasn't horrendous, but anyhow, I need a new machine. I don't want to spend a lot of money, so I'm thinking maybe something refurbished. So I've been looking on like Newegg.com, and I'm looking for some of that stuff. And it seems the sweet spot's around 200 or so. You can get like an Intel i7, you know, quad core, 3-point, whatever. You know, memory wise, I'm thinking like 8 or 12 gig. What?
Well, I just wanted to mention a couple of things. Well, the used market right now isn't as bad as it was 6-8 months ago, but it's still a little rough.
Right.
Another couple of months and you should be fine. As people are starting to transition back to the office, the used market should like really get flooded with people getting rid of stuff. So I don't know if you can hold out, but if you can hold out a month or two, that it might be worth it. Just for the used market. And definitely don't overlook like Facebook Marketplace. I know you're not real big on Facebook, but Facebook Marketplace, keep an eye on it. People are about to start getting rid of lightly used computers.
Right, right. I mean, I'm not super picky. The machine I had here was really fucking old. I'm asking, what do you think? Should I go for like an SSD? Have they gotten better?
Definitely.
Like I had one
absolutely.
Back in the day, and I think I fucking corrupted like a year in, you know?
Yeah, they're a lot better now, and speeds are insane. It also depending on what type of machine you get. You're not going to notice a whole lot of difference. There is a huge difference between M.2 and regular, like, SATA 3 SSD, but you're not going to notice it. So if you end up with SATA 3, then you will be absolutely fine on your SSD. And relatively cheap. I mean, you can get 240 gig one for, I think, $40 at Micro Center.
Right, yep. Right.
But for your RAM, especially if you're doing like audio editing, I think I'd bottom out at like 16 gig.
At least. 16 gigs, really a good sweet spot as far as I'm concerned. I don't have a machine, well, except for my wife's old laptop, which only has 4 gigs. Every other machine I have has at least 16, and I've been very pleased with that, both on Linux and Windows, to be honest. But
yeah, I don't give a shit about gaming. I really don't care.
Right.
I don't need like an NVIDIA graphics card. Well, I don't need that.
If you were doing like gaming, like light gaming, then and that was all you were doing, or even like mid-tier gaming, maybe some high-end gaming, you don't really need much more than 8. But audio editing, video editing, I'd go for 16.
Right, right.
Yep.
What about maybe having a mixed system, like, you know, having the OS on the SSD, and then maybe having storage on a regular drive?
I like the concept a lot. Although I will say this, I have my Surface, and really I've used it with Linux too. But on my Surface, I use a one of those SanDisk USB SSD drives. You know, basically it's a 1 terabyte essentially a thumb drive.
Is it 3.0 or 3.1?
3.0, I think. It might be 3.1. I'd have to look. Well, actually, it might be 3.1 because it can actually hook up to, like, my phone with USB-C. Actually, that's something I'd also go with, too, is USB-C on board. Preferably the version with Thunderbolt. But, you know, it just depends on, you know, if you're going to hook up external monitors and stuff like that. But
you're looking at, like, within the last 2 years if it's on board. So I don't think he's quite going for that new.
Yeah,
I'm not. Yeah. I mean, what's considered, like, average processor now? Like an Intel? What? Like
Core i5. Well,
yeah, I wouldn't go for an i5. I wouldn't go anything older than, what, 5th gen, i7. I might go back to 4th gen. But that's about as far back as I would go.
Yeah, that's what I was looking
Cabby
at.
Cabby Lake, right? Yeah, Cabby
Lake. Like an i7, that was what I was looking at.
Yeah. Yep. But I do like the concept of booting off of the SSD and then having maybe, if you want an extra fat spin drive somewhere else, that's definitely something to do. But
yeah, it really is. That it's extremely helpful to have that much larger drive for long-term storage. But once again, if you're audio editing, then what you're going to want to do is pull the files that you're working on into your SSD and then work on them from there just for that read time. And then when you're done working on it, dump it back out to long-term storage.
Like I'm going to do, like, you know, audio recording, you know, like when I have a session going and I'm actively working on it, keep it on the SSD. And then once I mix it and master it and have like a final audio file, just put it out on storage.
Yeah, that's why I do all my computers.
And maybe zip, like, once I'm done with the session, like, take the session files and maybe zip them and put them on the regular drive.
Maybe. I don't know how much space zipping actually saves. I mean, it might be worth it if there's a lot of separate files, but I don't know.
They're not massive, the audio files, you know?
So sometimes, especially with like really small files, zipping, because it adds, you know, it adds stuff at the beginning, it adds stuff at the end. Sometimes zipping will actually make your file that little bit larger.
Yeah, it all depends on you know how compressible the file is. Audio is not terribly compressible. You might just be better off just copying it to the drive. Forget about zipping it. Anyway, one upside for zipping it would be to keep it all in one place. You know, easier to back the file
just,
up.
Just keep backups of like the sessions once I'm done with it. If I need to bring them back, I could.
Yep.
You know,
and as long as you don't care about eating that little bit extra space, because sometimes you know that can be a larger file, but you know it's easier to restore one file than it is several.
Yeah, like my garage computer that I'm working on right now, the one that I call my server, I have a 500 gig SSD, and then I have like 24 terabytes worth of hard drive in it.
I mean, I can go all SSD. I have my my NAS. I can always put stuff on there, you know, and that's what I usually do. I migrate stuff I want to store on there.
Oh, then check out some used Nooks or something, or Nook clones.
Yeah, but I definitely want it to be decently fast, you know, enough memory to handle it.
If you get a lot of the Nook clones, you're still looking at i5s, i7s.
Yep.
Or the AMD equivalent, and probably 16 gigs of RAM. And on the used market, you can sometimes find pretty good deals on them.
How good's Ryzen support on Linux now? Is it supported at all? I mean, it's x86.
Riser, did you say?
Ryzen. Ryzen.
Oh, Ryzen. I have no idea.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Where's AMD at, and what's decent?
AMD is supposed... I don't know a lot, but it's supposed to be at least comparable, if not slightly better, than, you know, NVIDIA has been. Especially in a cost comparison.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's also GPU. A little more reasonable price range. I mean, so you're not looking to do 3D graphics or anything on this, right?
Essentially, right now, don't buy a graphics card.
Definitely not. I mean,
you could just get away with the Intel graphics.
Yeah,
you're going to want integrated graphics. Yep, integrated graphics right now is the way to go.
I think, trying to remember, the latest is on Intel is, Iris, I think.
Is the machine already have integrated graphics? Like, most of them do, don't they?
Not all. It's actually difficult to get AMD CPUs that have integrated graphics.
I just always remember, like, so many of the machines, especially...
Yeah, it used to be, like, all of them did, but...
It's been a long time since I looked for...
Anything in the price range he's looking at would probably... Even new would have integrated graphics. You know, basically, your base level, like, normal machine, which should be fine for audio, might be stretching it for video, but, you know, anything within the last... decades probably fine for audio, but I wouldn't go that old.
Yeah, and it's gonna be probably a year, if not two, before graphics cards are reasonable again.
Yeah. Well, especially since it seems like NVIDIA keeps bringing out, like, heck, I remember it was not that long ago, the 2060 was the hot thing, and now the 3060's out already. Not like those are very well.
The 3080 Ti.
Yeah,
the 3090.
I don't know how good they are on Linux, to be honest. You know, they're good for Windows for sure, but for Linux, I'm not so sure. You know.
Right. Yeah, I'm not either.
I mean, the Nouveau driver, which I think that's the open source one, I'm pretty sure it doesn't support anything that late, but not like Pat's going to go that direction.
You know, yeah, 16th. He was looking for more of a budget build, and anything right. with a graphics card that new, 3060, 3080.
Definitely not budget.
Yeah, not budget. Not at all.
Even in a year, that's not budget.
But no, I guess if I were buying a graphics card, I'd probably go with like the 1650, which is technically 20 series, but it's like the low end of 20 series, and definitely a whole lot more pocket friendly, but still way too expensive right now.
Awesome. Yep.
So, any particular websites I should be looking at besides Newegg, maybe? And you mentioned, you know, Facebook Marketplace.
Hell, just Amazon would have some good deals too.
Yeah.
I mean, don't know how much you're into using the big A anymore, but
no.
Support Bezos and the Washington Post. I don't mind Amazon because it gives me a job.
Wait, I'm mistaken. I was muted. I was going to say, I mean, aside from Newegg, if you're looking, is Tiger Direct still around?
Ooh, I don't think so.
I thought they got bought by Newegg.
Yeah, maybe that was it. There we go. I mean, what else do you have besides Newegg unless you're going to go maybe eBay?
You can tell it's been a while since Daniel bought a computer.
Yeah, no kidding.
I just walk into Micro Center.
Yeah, if you have one. I do.
Yeah, I don't think
order from them.
I don't think there's a micro. There aren't any computer stores in the Lehigh Valley anymore.
There's not
there?
A lot. There's a few small, you know, mom and pop type shops.
And then there's Best Buy and Staples. And
Best Buy don't count no more.
No.
I mean,
Staples never counted.
Yeah, I think Pat doesn't want to go buy that kind of computer.
No.
Or but Walmart.
You should be able to order online from Micro Center.
Yeah, you can do that, yeah.
I'll look.
But I'd definitely go smaller, though, you know, because, you know, from what you're saying, that's probably going to fit with your budget.
Yeah.
And that's going to have the graphics you need, which is going to be nothing.
In the $500 range, you can get an older MSI gaming laptop and then just use your NAS.
I want a desktop. I'm going to hook it up, you know, for the audio, you know. I want a desktop, like a tower.
It's like trying to figure it.
A lot of those 17-inch gaming laptops are basically desktop replacements. And if it's just something to get you by for a couple of years until, you know, desktop prices get better, then why not?
Yep. And I've thought about a desktop as well, but I think more and more I'm probably just going to go to a laptop because it's easier for me to, like, if I'm not using it, I can close it up, stick it in a corner or something until I really need to use it, which doesn't happen often, but, you know, hey, occasionally that does happen. Plus, I can take my personal machine with me. I'm usually going for thinner builds for my personal laptops. You know, that's why I have a Surface Pro. Is my primary right now, and then this yoga book I'm currently using for the show, which I just discovered came out in 2016.
You can get some pretty awesome, like, tablets with USB-C and Thunderbolt on them, and then just be able to hook up peripherals to it.
Well, you had to have a dongle or a USB-C dock.
That's not a desktop, man. That's still a tablet or a laptop.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, price and size as well, especially if he already has an NAS.
Right.
Pat, man, just go down to the Market Pro show at the farmer's market. They have one every month, right?
I would back in the day.
Yeah, the old Market Pro shows. I miss them.
Were we looking at their website a couple weeks ago or months ago?
I think so.
Was that?
Maybe.
Wait, Tiger Direct? 2 years ago?
Yeah, so the Market Pro computer shows, they still have a website, and it looks like it's the same website they used back in 1999. But they don't have
Does it have the little dude shoveling the shit in the little yellow construction sign? Remember those?
Yeah, well, it does have a scrolling marquee at the top, except instead of going from left to right, it's going from right to left. So... oof. So I don't, you know, there's no scheduled shows.
Of course not. It's all been taken over. Ooh, that is awful. That's like, I wouldn't say it's 90s. I'd say maybe early 2000s, maybe. You know, it's pretty awful design, though.
Well, the Tiger Direct still has a web front, so I'm not sure. I don't know.
They do.
Refurbished desktops.
That's like the other day, like, I'm in several Raspberry Pi groups, and at least one of them's known for really, really, well... you might not think it's dumb, but I think it's dumb questions. Like, there's someone who posted a picture of a fairly collectible ThinkPad from the 90s, which had maybe 16 megabytes of RAM and is a Pentium 1. And he's like, how could I put the Pi in this and use the screen as a keyboard? I'm like, you're going to tear up something... because I looked up the model he posted, and the model he posted on eBay, believe it or not, goes for about $400. Vintage collectors collect ThinkPads a lot, so if you have an old one, take a look on eBay. I bet you can get some fair amount of money for something that old, if you have it still.
Hey, Pat, what was the refurbished one you were looking at? What was it again?
I'm looking through them now. I see Lenovo's, I see Dell's, you know, I see HP's.
Around the $300-$400 price range you were looking at?
Yeah, like around three-ish.
HPI workstation for $389. Core i7, 16 gigabyte of RAM, 128 gigabyte SSD, 2 terabyte hard drive, desktop for $389.
That's pretty good. Where are you seeing that?
That's on Tiger Direct under their...
Send me the link, please.
Sorry. Come on. Why did that not copy?
Micro Center started carrying some refurbs, too.
Give me 1 second. I'm getting
no problem.
It.
Take your time.
I'm trying to and take my time.
You'd be surprised how new some of the refurbs are on Micro Center's website. Some of them are within the last year.
I'll check that out too.
Of course, my son thinks it's hilarious. He climbed the stairs up into my office here and just blew a big old fart. He did a Dan to me. But Dan would have done that. He just put a fan at the bottom of the steps and blew it up here. I kid.
Yeah, nice, huh?
Or just wait in the elevator at Linux Fest.
Why is my copy buffer not working?
You broke it.
Yeah, maybe I gotta switch it. Maybe I gotta switch to a more modern window manager.
Like Flexbox.
That's it. All right, there we go. Here, that has to do it now, right? There we go. I'm sorry, Pat. Here we go. Ah. Boom. Took me only 3 hours.
Thanks.
I got to go back to computer class 101.
Computer 101.
Had a copy and paste. I'm not
or
sure.
Or you can be like me, like okay, Windows RDP sessions, you can copy and paste between them. All right. But what I end up usually doing, like, and like, I'm talking like files, not like text and stuff, okay? So like I'm using that to copy a file to a server, all right? And then what do? I copy and paste somewhere else so I can paste something into Slack, and then I killed my upload because I'm a dumbass. Because, you know, that's one of the, probably the easier way on Windows systems, especially if you don't have, like, drive shares between the servers. That's, like, something I would love to, if we had at least one drive. Heck, it could be an S3, I don't care, or for all I care. But just one drive that was just mounted as a, you know, with a drive letter that all the servers could see. That way I can just copy stuff back and forth so much easier. But, nah, well, it doesn't happen that way. But see what they have on Micro Centers. I'm looking.
Micro Center. I've never been to a Micro Center. I've never shopped with awesome. Micro Center. I never had a Micro Center near me to begin with, which is why I never had that experience.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's I feel fun. Like I've missed out.
Now, I go to their website. Now, I don't... Well, I think you may only be able to order the new stuff there. Because I went in there and looked at a... Granted, I don't know if it's because maybe it's just not there yet and it's coming. But they had a Dell Optiplex 3020. It's a slim form factor desktop. It's refurb. Core i5-4570, 3.2 gigahertz processor, 16 gigabyte of RAM. Specifically, it's DDR3 1600, 512 gig SSD with Intel HD graphics. For $269.
Send me the link.
Yeah, well, it has a reserve now button, so I don't know what that means, but I will.
Wait, it says reserve now?
Yeah, so it's you're almost talking about like the Dell Optiplex? Yeah. 3020? Yeah.
Why do you see a reserve now when mine says add to cart?
Interesting.
Location, location, location.
Probably. Yeah, I'm using the Bethel Road store here.
Oh, I'm on their website, so.
No, that's on their website. The website, you can select a store.
I'm assuming that they'll ship it to you. Yes?
I would hope, but. And you can even get a 1 year or 2 year extension protection plan. Not that you actually care about that, you know, but hey. Yeah, where the add to cart button, mine says reserved now, so I don't know exactly what that means. It could mean that I could reserve it on their website and go into the store and pick it up.
Oh, wait.
And actually, I'm seriously thinking about something like that. Maybe I could replace, like, my OMV server with something like this.
Look what you did, Pat. It was like, what, 20 minutes ago? He was like, I would not get a desktop. I'd get a laptop. Now he's like, I'm going to get myself a desktop, and I'm going to pick it up at the store.
And it's going to be cooler than Pat's.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's a good deal, man. $269 for that machine.
Yeah, it's not that old either when you think about it.
I might go for that one.
Yep. And since it's that upside is if it's a desktop format, so if you want to put in like a dedicated sound card, make maybe a. I don't even know if you want to bother with Sound Blasters anymore.
No, I have a.
We got the Behringer, don't you?
I got the Behringer, yeah, for four channels I can play.
Yeah, the UCA 202.
UMC 4040 HD. 404.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, you got the newer one than I do.
Yeah. I was going to get the two, but they were all out of stock, so I just got the four. And it works good.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I've used it on Linux before. I've used it on the show before. I almost had to because I'm sitting here for some strange reason when I finish the show. I use a Logitech headset. It's a wireless one. It's actually my backup one for work. And it's one of the ones with the dongles. It's not Bluetooth, okay? And for some dumb reason, I took the dongle out and stuck it in this little IKEA stand I got next to my chair here. Has a little outrigger like cup holder. I put it in there, and I'm like, never put it there. I either leave it in the laptop, or the headset itself has a little port on it where you can stick the dongle when you're traveling. I'll either put it in one of those two places, and I'm like, I couldn't find it. I almost had to hook that up. Although, actually, I don't even know. No, I do have my XLR. I have the mixing board here, but I don't have the XLR mic or the cables here. I don't think, because we're in the big push to like clean out the storage facility this weekend, because we got to get it out before the fifth, I think. Or they'll charge us another month's rent. So I've got a U-Haul cargo van reserved to get the stuff out of there, just because I can and I do haul all the time. But you get to a point where even with the third row folds flat, but the front row also kind of does that. But there's a gap between the two seats. So it makes it a pain in the ass to load a lot of stuff in our car. I guess technically what I probably could do is I could get a sheet of plywood and put it over top of that so I can utilize that gap. But I just decided, let's rent a 9-foot or 10-foot cargo van. You know, the kind with it's either a Ford Transit or a Sprinter or something like that. So I figured I'd be able to get that cleaned out in a day or so. We may go over maybe tomorrow night and get some more stuff. But I finally got some of this other stuff out of there, and it's almost like a treasure trove. I still have, my PowerBook, yeah, my G4 12-inch. Is still over there. See a lot of other things. I got shelving for the garage. But a lot of the dumpsters, though, they used to have here are starting to go away because some of the houses, like a neighbor to the right of me now has full landscaping, so they're probably within a week of closing, so I'll have a neighbor on the right of me. Or left of me, actually, if you face the house. Yeah, in fact, they took extra gutters. I didn't know the guys who do the gutters, they basically put this big old piece of gutter on the end of it so they can pass inspection rather than buy the little Suncast downspout things to direct the water away from the house. And so they took all the extra ones off of my neighbor's house and threw them in my yard. I'm like, thanks. Yeah, anyway. And then this afternoon we had to play the... Is it Thunder? Or is it the house being built across the street? And today it was Thunder.
I
You know what? I look at these desktops. I'm scrolling through them, and I'm like, you know, how my standards have dropped since in the past 2 decades. Like, I don't want to say they dropped. Like, maybe I'm looking at this a lot more realistically than I would have 2 decades ago. But like 2 decades ago, I'd have been like, integrated video? Hell no. Integrated wind modem? Hell no. Integrated audio? Hell no. I want it all separate. And now I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, it's got everything. And a hard drive. And it comes with a keyboard and a mouse, which I really don't need. But damn, like, all you right. used to go and buy bare bones systems for these prices, and you'd have to put in your own hard drive and your own memory and your own video card if it didn't have video on board. And here it's like, that's not bad at all.
If you want something with a little bit more oomph there, Pat, I think it's a little bit out of the range you were looking at. There's a Lenovo Legion T5 gaming desktop for $899.99.
That's like three times what he's looking to pay.
I know, but well, it's got also got the NVIDIA GeForce C6 1660. It's also got a 256 gig SSD and a terabyte hard drive. So it's worth a look too, but especially if you want something just with a little more oomph.
Well, I mean, my assumption is if you're looking at something for $250 to $300,
yeah,
and then you're talking about something that's like $900, right, it better have a hell of a lot more oomph in it than a little more.
Yeah,
well,
like,
I think
a little more oomph would be in the $400.
250 seems to be the sweet spot for what I'm looking for.
Right. Yes.
You know, there's stuff like I'm looking at Newegg and I'm looking at Micro Center and they're comparable what they offer, you know? Like a 250 SSD, you know, 16 gig memory.
At least that Dell has a 512 gig SSD in it. So just down, you can actually get cheaper than that. There's one for a HP Pro Desk for $229, but it only has a 256 gig SSD, which actually, really, for Linux, it's probably sufficient. But
if I can get the same, if I can get like a 512, it's around the same price. I think it's
right.
Worth it.
Yeah. Wait, what operating system wouldn't it be sufficient for?
Well, it would probably work with Windows, but you'd be struggling.
Well, I'm just saying that this machine was probably it came with Windows.
Comes with
Honestly,
Windows.
Honestly, that doesn't mean anything.
I know, mean, it doesn't
look
mean
anything.
Right?
Like,
it might,
64
it might not
gigabyte.
Be the best experience in the world.
The 64 gigabyte machines that no longer work. The 32 right. gigabyte machines that no longer work because
of
brick updates.
Yeah, I was going to say, my dad had a... remember the Stream laptops? He had one of those. And, of course, he's running Windows. He didn't really care about, you know, that's what he knows, right? And I want to say I thought the biggest problem was the Windows updates, and it was Windows, I think it was Windows 8 at the time when he bought it. But when 10 came out, he's like wanting to load 10 on it. He couldn't. Because all the previous updates filled that 64 gig hard drive. So
okay, that's a 64 gig hard drive, right?
Well, an SSD,
you know what?
Actually,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's a 64 gig hard drive. If your operating system and just your operating system takes more than 64 gigs,
I'm not
disagreeing. You got a problem there, like. My whole entire Linux distribution, which is the operating system, and a whole shitload of software doesn't even take up 64 gigs.
Yeah, but it had to do with how they did updates. And yes, it was stupid.
How
and...
they still do updates.
Shit, my root partition is only 22 gigs. and it's only 15
gigs used.
You
have a separate root partition?
Of course I do. I have separate from my home partition. Like, I keep my home partition separate, and then I just, if I want to swap out what version of Linux I want to use, I don't have to worry about my home partition. I already have it there. And then I bitch and moan a couple months later as to why nothing's working right in my window manager, because I'm using the config from an Arch desktop on a Fedora workstation. Now.
Yeah, there you go.
So there we go. So we got those. But no, but I'm like, it's a full fucking Fedora thing with Office Suite and, you know, four or five different desktop environments, and that's
so basically you just spin up a new home directory every time you fuck it up, huh?
No, I just move stuff around under the config directory.
There are that too, yeah. Let's see.
Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
On my laptop, I did a straight up Ubuntu install. Just used the whole disk.
But looking at this, looking at these machines right here, not a single one of them, like each one of these machines is more hard drive space than I have in my home, like almost my entire like environment down here.
So what does that tell you, Dan?
It tells me that my requirements that I had 20 years ago were unrealistic, right? For what I do on a day-to-day basis. So looking at any one of these machines here, I'm like, that's a lot
of
power.
So if it wasn't for the show in your personal time, actually, this is a good question for all of us. If it wasn't for the show or creative ventures, would a Chromebook be enough for you? I think it would for me. I do an amazing amount of things on my phone or a tablet nowadays. It's like stuff I would usually fire up the laptop to do, I now just fire up my phone to do. Like check on a bill or something like that.
Gaming. Nope. Couldn't do it.
See, it depends on the game you want to play. Phone games, universally, this is kind of a small rant I have. I downloaded like a trivia game or something. It's a very simple game. It's not high graphics or nothing, you know? It's just, I think it was Trivia Crack or something like that. I can't remember the name of the game. But I'm going in the game and I get through so far that it wants to play an ad, okay? And I'm like, okay, fine. All right. So I go, it plays the ad. I'm sitting there waiting and waiting. There's no freaking X to clear the ad. I can't do anything, but anywhere I tap in the ad, it brings me to the Play Store to download a fucking app that you thinks that I should, that you should do. And I'm like, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. I'm like, and so I go to the Play Store and say, and after I install the game, uninstall the game, I should say, I go to the Play Store and I leave a review, and I gave it like two or three stars, and I said, it's a good game, but the ads that won't let you out of the ad suck. The only way I can get out of the ad was to kill the app entirely and go back in, and then at that point I can go back and play a little bit more, okay? So, the company that writes the game replies back in the review. Ads are what make it possible to keep the game available to you, and I'm like, fuck you.
Don't you hate when they don't answer the question? Like, yeah. It wasn't that you were complaining that it had ads. It's that you couldn't, you know, once the ad was done, you couldn't close it.
Yes, and that's a bug. That should not happen. I don't mind ads. Now, they can be a bit ridiculous, all right? You know, I actually have in the past paid to make ads go away on occasion, you know? Because I'm not a cheapskate, and I do want to support the people who write the software that I use. All right? But, so, and this game actually has that as an option. $3 a week. And I'm like, yeah, no.
A week?
A week. Yeah. That's nothing, really. In the grand scheme of things, could I afford that? Yes. Okay? But do I want to? No.
Wait a minute. That's more expensive than a Netflix.
I'm not disagreeing because it's going to be like see, it's a week, so that's $12 a month. It's like, yeah.
That's like $150. Yeah. $156 a year for a trivia application.
Yep.
You tell them stick it right up their ass.
Yeah, that's exactly what I did. I didn't tell them that. I just deleted the app. You know, it's
that's the way these pay-to-play games are anymore. I mean, they cost more than, you know, a freaking, like, high-quality, high-end game.
I had to go look, see what the latest Angry Birds is, and see, I bet you it's got a subscription, too. Because it's not about just selling you the game to play anymore. It's free to play, you know. You can make the ads go away, but we want that recurring revenue. We're going to charge you $4 a month or something like that, you know. Actually, none of them are that cheap, but, you know. And the free-to-play game models that kind of work are the ones that you can pay to get extra things to help maybe level you faster through the game. That kind of works because that does kind of suck me in every once in a while. Like good example there is like Pokemon Go. You know, I would say I run out of Pokeballs or something. You know, give me 50 Pokeball what is it, like $100, $200 of gold so you can go buy some Pokeballs. I'll pay that every once in a while. Because I actually like Pokemon
Go. Joel admitting that he pays for balls.
Pokeballs.
Wait, you're still playing Pokemon Go?
Okay, yeah, every once in a while. Okay.
There was like a big update a little while ago, wasn't there?
Yeah, the one update, and I don't know, I think they took it away because they allowed you to like battle at Pokestops or whatever the gyms or whatever it is. You didn't have to be as close to it as before because of COVID.
Okay.
So, but I think they were just removed that since, you know, it's mostly on the way. You know, there's still the Delta variant out there, but, you know, if you're vaccinated, you're probably going to be fine. You know, but that's all
no, but I meant, dependent like,
on your objective.
Added,
but yeah.
I thought they added new Pokemon and stuff.
Oh, they have, yeah, they've been doing that.
Yeah, I thought that there was,
for a long,
like,
time, yeah.
They've really, and they've really changed some areas around.
Mm-hmm. Now you can actually, I want to say, if you or your friend are nearby, I think you can battle each other just on the spot, I think. And I do like, every once in a while you'll fire it up and you'll see Team Rocket's balloon hanging there, so you tap on the balloon and you can battle somebody in Team Rocket. 9 times out of 10, it's like some nobody. Every once in a while, it's Jesse or James. But yeah, that's one I still, and I don't mind throwing them a couple bucks. Niantic is pretty cool. Every once in a while, we'll fire up Ingress still. Not as often because it's just, you know, I don't have the freaking time to go driving or walking around the neighborhood to set up links and stuff to in the game for the Resistance. So
I was gonna say, is anybody playing that anymore? I never hear anybody talk about Ingress.
Yeah, I mean, it depends. Some local areas are more. Columbus seems to be more active than most areas I've been to. Because I'll still, every once in a while, I'll go into the chat in there, and I'll still see some of the people I remember playing when it first came out. But I've been on level 8 for a few years now. I'm not playing hard enough because they actually recently, level 8 used to be the highest you can go, but they since added more levels to the game. And they've also stopped, like, well, maybe I just unsubscribed from the channel, but they used to put, like, YouTube videos out that fit the story of the game. And I don't think they're doing that as much anymore. But now it's more like playing the game, and the story's secondary now.
But, well, Joel, to get back to your original question,
Yes.
I mean, I think my biggest problem, not you know, if you say not including the show, my biggest problem with technology is I spend like such a huge portion of my day at work that I generally tend to not want to do more of that.
I agree with you.
Afterwards, that seems to be the case because I'm always busy doing something. You know, once I get all the stuff, other stuff I need to get done, it's like if I want to play a game, I would play on the PlayStation 5 or the Switch. But, you know, I used to be into computer gaming and I like that. But I just like it's I don't have the time and money to invest in that right now, which I shouldn't say that's not where I'm investing my money. So I'm like, you know, I use a Chromebook quite frequently that I'm either playing a YouTube video from it or looking something up on it because it's convenient to have right there if I'm not using my phone. Right. And then when we
that's
like,
why I'm more into the retro games, because one, nostalgia, two, I can pick the game up, play it for 15 minutes, and put it down. You know, like a game like fucking Skyrim.
They got him. He was trying to curse out Skyrim, nope. And they took him out.
No, I don't know what happened on that, but but you know, so like now I'm kind of semi looking for an arcade one-up. Of course, I've been talking about that for a few weeks, but now. I didn't know they had these ones for the Switch. Like, there's the Namco Museum for the Switch for, like, $30. It has Dig Dug, Pac-Man, Galaga, Rolling Thunder, Tank Force, a whole bunch of games for $30. And there's also an Atari one that basically brings a lot of the 2600 games onto the Switch. It's like, I might buy either the Switch Lite or the Switch. Just because that's what I enjoy the nostalgia. Like eventually, once I get the Atari 800 XL, I'm gonna order the. Ooh, in fact, I need to order the replacement power supply because I'm not gonna use the stock one anymore. Because if you have a retro computer like a Commodore 64 or an Atari, anything from the 80s, don't. I would not, if it still works, even if it still works, I would basically go swap the power supply for a modern switchable power supply that will be more reliable than the old one and less likely to fry your computer. Because if you have a cap go in the Commodore 64 power supply, it'll basically short the motherboard and fry that thing, and good luck fixing it. Because it's not like they have a ton of Commodore 64 parts. Like the SID chip and stuff like that. Or like on the Mac VIC-20, the VIC chip. 6550, I think that was, yeah. But yeah, it... Yeah... It's compelling to me. I mean, it's kind of the only thing I wouldn't like about playing those games on the Switch was it would be the. I don't think I'd like the Joy-Con for controlling Dig Dug as much as a standard arcade stick.
You get used to it.
Do you? Okay.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. And actually, yeah. I'm trying to think. Is that a Code Museum? That should be a down.
Yeah, you can get the Namco Museum off the Switch. Pretty much every single game that you can get for the Switch, you can download off their eShop instead of buying like a cartridge for it.
But like game, and that's the other thing too. There's a few YouTube streamers. Like one of the streams I used to listen to, they ended their nightly last night was their last one. They just decided they'd call it quits. They just didn't want to do it anymore. They wanted to free their schedule because they would do their when they first started the show, they were doing it every night at 9 o'clock, every night. And now they backed it off to where they were only doing it Monday through Friday once, and then actually Monday through Saturday. And then they just do mid Monday through Friday, and then one of the guys quit, and then the other two just ended. They'll play games and stream it either to YouTube or Twitch. I've tried watching game streams before. I just can't. I'm like, I'd rather play the game than watch it. You know, unless I'm trying to watch it to see, watch like a video to see how I can beat a certain section of the game. You know, that's a different story. But just watching them fart around in Fortnite or in, they were playing 7 Days to Die. You know, I just know.
Man, you got a lot of specific information here. It looks like you've been looking this, you've been watching this stuff.
No, I haven't. I tried watching a couple of Twitch streams, but nope. The only reason I know what they played is they'd mentioned it on their other stream, which wasn't game.
I mean, if I didn't have work and all the other stuff going on where I was, or you know, with the kids and everything, I would like to do more things like Arduino stuff and messing around with single board computers. And I don't know. You can do that on a Chromebook. I'm not sure I would want to. I would probably rather have a laptop or a desktop to hook it up to and have it all in. But then again, I do like my Chromebook, and you slap it up there on Linux compat. You know, you get the Linux compatibility stuff going on, and or the Linux shell. You enable the Linux stuff, and you're rocking and rolling there. I don't know if I would really play many games on it.
Right.
Unless you get a really high-end Chromebook, at that point I'd be like, why am I wasting my money on a high-end Chromebook when I can buy a, you know, a better laptop or desktop for that price? Well,
see, that's the one I don't understand with Chromebooks, is like the Pixelbook versus, like, you know, like, how much is that? I thought it was $3,000 at one point. It's like, if I'm spending that much, I'm going to get a real computer. Or Tesla bot. Y'all see that story?
No.
Elon Musk has announced they're making a humanoid robot that they're going to have for sale soon.
With sexual organs that it turns it into a real robot?
Nothing like that.
How soon until that's going to have attachments, huh?
Just about 15 minutes.
Damn straight.
Just stick a fleshlight on it, right?
That's right.
Exactly.
You know, that the first thing that thing comes out, the first one that rolls towel, out the form, someone's going to go have sex bands. With it.
Yeah. Or maybe Real Doll can make a skin for it that just, you know, goes over it, like, since it's all, it could be all made out of rubber. But yeah, see, let me see what I'm on the Google store. Let's see what it costs for that.
For the Elon Musk, whatever?
No, the Chromebooks.
Now's a bad time to buy them, because schools are probably buying them up, right?
Yeah. Well, actually, okay, wait. The only thing they have on there is the Pixelbook Go. Similar in concept to the Surface Go.
How much is that?
I'm looking. Clicking buy, it is C's. Depending on how much storage and what CPU, The cheapest one is the Intel Core M3 with 8 gigs of RAM, 64 gig of storage for $649, which that sounds like a lot for that spec. The next one is $849. That's got a Core i5 with 8 gig of RAM and 128 gig of storage. The one after that is a Core i5 with 16 gigs of RAM and 128 storage. And then the next is $1,399 for a Core i7 with 16 gig of RAM and 256 gig storage. Cheaper than their last ones, but I don't think I think they're overcharging for what they are. Because that's not...
Yeah, Chromebooks were supposed to be like a cheaper alternative to getting a full computer. And then they turned into just as expensive, if not more so.
Well, if you buy the Pixelbook, which is like Google's idea of what a Chromebook should be, you can get cheaper than that.
You can get cheaper than that Windows PCs.
Yes, that too. Yep. Actually, $649... You can pretty get a pretty kick-ass laptop for that. I mean, is it going to be a barn burner? No. But will it do minimal gaming and everything else you need to do? Sure. So let's look on Amazon, see what the cheapest Chromebook is.
The cheapest, like non, like new or refurbished?
I'd say new.
I mean, I think they don't they start new like around $200-$300.
Well, you got the HP Chromebook X360, which basically is also can flip around. It's got touchscreen on it. It's got the Pentium Silver N5000.
All right, the flip around touchscreen thing, that is that like...
Yep.
Are we looking at the low end or the high end here?
That's a low end. It's $289. Now, granted, it only has 4 gig of RAM and 64 gig of eMMC, but there you go. And it's a 14-inch screen. So if I click under 500, that's actually the cheapest. Well, actually, no. That's not the cheapest one. HP also has an 11-inch one for $159. Now, I don't know if you want this or not, because it's got a MediaTek processor, MT8183, 4 gig of RAM, 32 gig of eMMC for $159. Yeah, that'd be painful even on a Chromebook.
Well, I guess this isn't a refurb.
No.
The one for... No. That's...
You know, that's cheap enough. I might have to buy one just for the heck of it, because I've always wanted to play around with Chromebooks, but I just couldn't justify spending the extra money. That's not... That's easy for me to save up and get. I have enough in the bank for it now. In my savings account, that my wife doesn't care about. I mean, it wouldn't be good enough. It would not be good enough for me to do. You know, that's my only machine. It just wouldn't. It is cheaper than an iPad, too.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Everything's cheaper than an iPad, isn't it?
Depends what iPad you get. 11 inches, that was one of my favorite sizes of netbooks.
It's kind of small these days.
Yeah, when you think
it's hard to look. hard to see.
And here's the other negative to that one, too. I'm trying to find it, but the screen is not a great resolution. It's 1366 by 768. That's actually a really odd resolution when you think about it. And it says it's HD. Maybe a little bit better than 720. At least it's not 1064 by 768. Which for a while it seemed like that's the only size screen you could get. Well, it's got fairly high reviews on Amazon, so. Interesting. Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out whether, I mean, I've played around with, like, there's a Chromium that you can install that essentially makes something into a Chromebook.
And how well does that work?
I'm trying to remember if I actually used it in anything that wasn't a VM. That's a really good question.
Or for more than 10 seconds at a time.
Or, yeah, exactly. Boot it off the thumb drive. Oh, that's cool. Yeah. But that's like, Haiku OS. I love the look of it.
Oh, yeah.
It runs very well on almost everything I've tried it on, although I cannot seem to get it working on straight up flat laptop. You know, I've had it in a VM, and I haven't been able to get to work on any laptop I own as the OS. And the other problem with that, too, is it's like common applications. Like, if you think it was bad in what, the early 2000s when we had Star Office, remember that? You know, you don't have that on Haiku. You know, application support on Haiku is not even what Linux's support is today.
It's not a thing.
Yeah. It's basically got what it has in it and maybe a few other repos and that's it. I mean, it's not, you know, the upside is it's clean and lean, but, you know, and I think part of that, I think, is just because the BOS, which is kind of what Haiku was from, didn't really gain much of a following other than the curiosity that the Hobbit boxes and the 603 PowerPC chip based ones were, you know, they didn't even sell that well. So yeah, I'm not so sure if I'd ever buy a Chromebook. Could I survive on it if I didn't have to do like any of the things I do? Sure.
Most people, well, a lot of people probably could, but you know, there's just a lot of people actually do things like gaming.
Yep. Well, it's like my dad, when we couldn't upgrade his HP Stream, which I'll say this, he loved that little thing. And that was probably the right size of machine for him, except for the small SSD on it, you know. Well, but he replaced it with a gaming laptop.
We don't have a whole lot of time left, so...
Nope.
I want to just ask a question real quick. today I was trying to convert an image to Squash FS because, well, Raspberry Pi. But I ended up with a small problem where the image I was trying to convert was going to end up starting out as like 60 gig, and it was saying it was going to be over 10 gig, or 10 terabytes.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
Yeah, bit of a problem there.
So the image is 60 gigs, and it wants... It needs 10 terabytes to do it?
The image started out as 60 gig because it came off a micro SD card. And then I was converting it to Squash FS to use with Berry Boot. And it just... When I first did it, I tried doing it from my SSD, not realizing that I was going to try and make it that large. Because I've converted other images before, and they end up roughly the same size. So... This one just says it's going to end up being 10 terabytes.
That's insane.
Absolutely insane.
What were you using to convert it?
It's called a Berry Converter.
Never heard of it. Are there other converters out there?
I don't know of any others. This is just the one I found that was supposed to work well for what I was doing, which was converting images for the Raspberry Pi. And it's just to convert OS images from whatever format to Squash FS.
What's the format that it's in right now?
I'm not even sure. My system automatically just made the image. So I used the GNOME disks to make an image of a micro SD card. So it might have been Squash FS. That might be the problem.
So it's trying to convert it from Squash FS to Squash FS?
It might be. I don't know. I don't know what it was using for a file system.
Wow. What was the original thing like? What was the size of the original thing you converted from?
It was, 64 gig?
Oh, so originally, what the image right now, so you were taking,
It was just a micro SD card that had Ubuntu on it.
Oh, okay. And it was 64 gigs.
So it was literally the entire disk.
Uh-huh. And did GNOME disk, right? Did that take it and make a 64 gig image?
Yeah, my guess is that it just DD'd the whole image.
Still, it seems really like, why would it have to balloon this thing out to 10 terabytes?
I have no idea. I was hoping you guys knew.
I have never played around with Squash FS. So
me either.
Well, until the other day I hadn't either, but that's the only thing that Berry Boot uses. And Berry Boot doesn't work like it used to, where it had, you know, all those different images available to use at the same time. Actually, I don't know if you guys know or not. I don't know if you've done anything with Berry Boot. But you used to be able to download a whole bunch of different ones. But now you have to go to their site, pull it in, make sure it's Squash FS, or grab your own, convert it to Squash FS, add it to another, like, external USB card or something, and then use that to multi-boot.
Wow. Man, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you. I've never used Berry Boot, and I've never converted an image to Squash FS. That sounds ridiculous. 70 terabytes? 10 terabytes, I'm sorry.
From a 60 gig image. Yeah, it is absolutely crazy. I mean, I'd have let it convert all the way and then see if it shrunk it back down to a proper size, except I don't have any, you know, 10 terabyte hard drives.
Huh.
It's like I toyed with the idea this week about picking up the 8 gig RPi 4. Which I'm not so sure I want to bother with.
Yeah, well, rumors are that they're going to come out with a new one this year, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's a rumor every year. Until they actually come out with it. And then all of a sudden we're like, wow, shiny.
Well, I was surprised when they came out with the 4.
Well, so was I. Yeah. Well, so what in the 4 is like, trying to remember, did 3 have a gig Ethernet adapter?
Well, yeah, but it was limited by the bus.
Well, it still is.
Yeah. Well, it was more limited by the USB 2.0 bus.
Yeah. Because that's the only thing I can think of that might make it better for, like, my Open Media Vault server. But that's where I keep on thinking, maybe I should just ditch that and go back to Intel for something like that. You know, buy one that made them a Dell Optiplex that we just talked about. Except the Dell Optiplex would use a lot more power. Nah, probably not. I'm thinking more, well, we also started thinking about looking at getting a whole house generator installed at the house. So we've had 3, I'll say it, minor power outages since we moved in.
Brand new house, 3 minor power outages.
Well, we've been thinking about it before then, though. Mostly because of BiPAP and sleep.
little not breathing never hurt nobody.
Yeah.
So when you say you're using Berry Boot, are you using actual Berry Boot application, or are you using like MK Squash FS?
No, I pulled it from a Git repo. Somebody made it. It's called, I think it's actually called Berry Converter.
Oh, so it's basically trying to make an image that will work with Berry Boot. Yep.
Well, anything will work with, it's called Berry Converter. And anything will work with Berry Boot as long as it's Squash FS.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I was trying to take one of my previous builds that, you know, I was using for a while and image that and convert it to Squash FS and then see if it would take that image along with everything else onto an SSD.
Then there's still a size limitation on this, is these for the Raspberry Pi 4 in there.
I'm not sure. Especially with the 64-bit ones, I guess it's possible that there's a size limitation.
Yeah.
My
I've never gotten a
256 gig drive was going to work just fine.
Okay, so that worked. Okay. Now, I have booted off of you can now boot them off of USB.
Yeah, I have that all set up. That's what I was doing.
Right.
Just putting the Berry boot image on there. It's because I wanted the multi-boot feature.
Right.
And Noobs does offer it, but Noobs doesn't allow you to like add your own images.
Yeah. But Noobs too, you have to, I think you have to hit a key combination to switch images. Otherwise, it'll default to the first one you set up, I think.
No, it allows you to basically, there's a boot
screen. Been a while since I used Noobs, so.
So you can scroll through and pick the one you want at boot.
Yeah, it's been a while since I used Noobs.
And Noobs also allows you to, well, it looks like it allows you to install to external drives as well. So it'll act as your bootloader, and then you can still install everything to an external drive. And right. I pulled the external drive after I did it because some people were saying it says it allows you to do it, but it doesn't actually do it. But then when I go check the partitions, all the separate partitions are on the SSD.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know if it's just putting the root there or what, but it's working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had troubles getting, I was trying to use, actually, one of the first things I tried to do with that SanDisk SSD, USB SSD, was to boot my Raspberry Pi off of it, and I had nothing but troubles trying to do that. Well, it would boot, but it would like take forever over the micro SD. So I'm just like, oh, I'll just stick with the micro SD. I didn't need much more of that anyway. The Open Media Vault server, you know, I just have the USB drives hanging off of it. I don't boot off of it. I boot off the micro. My 4 gig Pi, I boot that off of a micro SD as well using Twister OS, which is very fun.
We gotta start wrapping this up.
Yes, we do. Happy birthday to Linux.
To Tux, right?
And to Tux.
And to Tux. Wait. Is it Tux or Linux that's 30?
Well, they said happy birthday. The Linux Foundation said happy birthday, Tux. But it's Linux. 1991 to 2021, today. Of course, I'm glad I didn't run Linux back in 1991 because I remember running it in late 90s, trying to get things like Win modems working and my fucking Wi-Fi card.
Yeah, Win modems.
The bad old days of early Linux support. Now it's probably got better support than Windows when you really think about it, because like the next version, Windows 11 forces Scareboot and forces TPM. So if your laptop doesn't support those, or if you want to dual boot Linux, forget it. Just load the Windows system, subsystem for Linux, I guess.
Well, they've always wanted to block, you know, dual booting, multi-installs, whatever. But they were supposed to have gotten better. They're supposed to be the friends of Linux now. What happened?
Yeah.
Windows loves Linux.
Well, I will say one thing, though. You can't. I don't think it would completely kill off Linux support. I have ran Linux with Secure Boot turned on. It's a pain in the ass, but I have done it.
So have I.
And definitely causes issues.
When you gotta re-sign everything because you didn't update.
Yeah.
All right. Gotta play us out. See everybody in a week.
Have a good one.
Yep, have good luck in finding the desktop, Pat.
Yeah, find a sweet spot.
Yeah.
Exciting definitely check times. The used market near you, man.
I will. Thanks.
All right, here we go. Here are your promos.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
I am short.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? With my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
While you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yep. All right.
Yeah.
Oy, oy, oy.
Yeah, bringing back memories of the wobbly windows.
Ah, barrel.
That nobody gives a shit about anymore.
Man.
Remember how hard we'd work to get that damn thing working? And now it just doesn't matter.
Yep.
Now we're like, I just want to run Git Jenkins and your desktop Linux. Yeah, and I'm not, well, it's not dead, but it's certainly not getting the advances it was when we first started this show. But
yeah. All right, I'm gonna stop this recording. Say goodnight, Joel.
Good night, Joel.
Yeah, we didn't start the show yet, so we look forward to hearing about the death of your desktop.
Okay.
All right, let's see here. Get the music queued up. We'll be ready to start. What time's Joel going to come in?
Probably won't.
Why would you say he's not coming in?
Usually he's one of the first ones here.
Nah, he shows up late sometimes. I think he's got prayer group tonight.
Yeah, he's usually.
I know he always used to be late, and we used to take bets on when he would show up and what he ate for dinner.
Wow. Yeah, his dinner options like are really dependent on whether he's going out or not these days, isn't it? Because he can't get anything delivered.
They don't know where he lives. He's not on the map yet.
Yeah, so He can just keep it simple. As did he cook it home? Did he get it delivered, or did he pick it up? I think the only thing you can get, like certain things you get delivered to the office there, and then he has to go down and pick it up. The office of I guess whatever they call that type of development. Wow, what am I doing?
My guess is that he went and, you know, bought food.
Although he does have that pellet smoker, doesn't he?
He does.
He's also got a brand new kitchen.
He's got that too. And why is this? Oh. Why did this thing just stop working? Why did it stop working, Joe?
I don't even know what this thing is.
Why did this thing stop working?
You were watching too much porn on it?
No, it's... Ooh, I gotta stop messing with that.
Yeah?
It, like, lost its network connectivity.
That would explain why it's not working.
Well, I don't know. It seems like it did. I'll find out in just a second.
I mean, I'm seeing all three of your machines if you're talking about one of those. So
no,
it couldn't
no. It's the machine I, it's the machine I use for, did it get a new IP address? No, it didn't. It's the machine I use for playing the audio file. It's like, it just, all of a sudden I can't reach it. But I'm
you can check your router and see if it has a different IP address now. Or if you're on it, do a what?
No, I'm physically on it as well as I was SSH'd into it. I don't know why. You know what? I'm just going to play it from here. That way I don't have to deal with it. Oh, I just got to stop touching it. That.
I agree. That sounds like a bad audio cable, though.
It's not doing it now, right?
Nope, not doing it now.
Yeah, so, alright. So I'll just play it from here. I don't know why it lost. And then I'll reboot it, and then we'll see what happens. Right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Alright. Here we go. Which show is this?
It's less than 1,000, more than 900.
Yeah. It is show 919. Alright, here we go. 919. Counting on Joe. Counting on Joel, too. He'll be coming in. Gorkon.